Often, the best jobs are the ones you invent. Case in point, Jim Deers, a community organizer in Seattle who became the first director of that city's innovative Department of Neighborhoods. Deers has compiled what he learned from that experience in the book Neighbor Power, Building Community the Seattle Way. It's an approach he sometimes calls Alinsky-style organizing.
Paul Alinsky came out of the labor movement in the 1930s, organizing workers for better working conditions, better wages, but found when they went home back to their neighborhoods, they really didn't have any power there. So he took a lot of the same organizing principles from labor and applied them in neighborhoods. And he basically said, there's two kinds of power in our society. There's the power of money and there's the power of people. And if you don't have a lot of money, you better have a lot of people. So how do you bring people together so that they can have a voice with their government?
Answering that question is part of the rationale behind the Santa Rosa Neighbors Summit, a free program of networking and workshops Friday night and Saturday, at which Deers will be the keynote speaker. He's been to a lot of these sorts of gatherings all over the world and has found that at the neighborhood level, the primary concerns are pretty much the same everywhere.
There's a stronger focus, I think, on environment on the West Coast than there is in other parts of the United States. But I think public safety is always a huge issue in neighborhoods. Often the strength of the neighborhood business district is an issue. Issues with parking, with traffic, with development, maintaining the character of the neighborhoods are all issues that I see everywhere.
Like those issues, the basic principles of neighborhood organizing haven't changed much over the decades, but some of the tools have, such as online social media.
Social media has really been helpful as a tool for everything from doing skills exchanges in communities to sharing resources, to notifying people about events and meetings, to providing opportunities for blogging and keeping people informed about what's going on, giving people a chance to register their opinions.
Some self-defined neighborhoods can be quite large, encompassing several thousand people in major urban areas like Seattle. In those cases, more localized subgroups tend to develop. In fact, Deer says, it's sometimes easiest to find common ground within a single residential block.
We've got those all over the country. They're often just called block watches, and their focus often is on public safety. And I've been a proponent for seeing how we could do many more things at the block level, whether that's doing skills exchanges, block parties, creating a community garden, planting street trees, caring for latchkey kids and for frail seniors. There's so much that can happen at the block level, and I find that people tend to connect most at the block level.
That works, Deers observes, because no matter where he goes, people tend to be most active and involved close to where they live, even when there is high turnover among the residents.
It's much tougher to build a strong organization, to build a strong sense of community when there's a pretty transient neighborhood. But I think it's probably more important there than anywhere else to build a sense of community. And once you do, once you build a strong sense of community, improve living conditions, people are more likely to stay around.
Reaching out to new arrivals can also help involve a more diverse population in the neighborhood, he adds, and make the hyperlocal groups both more representative and more effective. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.